Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Spania by David Schaefer. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Spania is a fantastic Spanish-style march. It's about 2 minutes in length. It's in the key of concert, E-flat, and 4-4 throughout, though it is riddled with accidentals. It has split clarinet parts, two clarinet parts, two alto parts, two trumpet parts. The low brass part is combined, which is nice. It requires about 5 to 6 percussionists minimum, though you can split some parts if you have a larger percussion section. You need a really strong shaker player on this, and it has some timpani feature. You need the snare player to have good timing. If you
claves need to be pretty solid, absolutely. Yeah.
If you have to leave anything out, the xylophone would be a part that you could leave out, though we definitely like the color that it adds to the Spanish style.
This piece is called a medium easy online. We both feel it's about a grade two, like a pretty easy grade two. But it's so fun, and the kids love playing this piece because it is a Spanish style. It's very strong. It's got a fun accelerando at the end, which we'll get to in a minute. So it starts out, like Laura said, in 4-4 and very bold. It's not a fast tempo. Everybody has accents. So I teach the students to have a little bit of daylight between the dotted quarter note and the eighth note, ta, 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 to keep it really lifted in style. And the kids just like find this so fun. It's got a cool little like alto and trumpet two part at measure 4 where it resolves along with first clarinet. And then it kind of repeats. Lows come in on beat 2 each time, and it's like really impactful, and the kids think that's really fun too.
The scoring of this is really blocked throughout, so this is a piece that I think lends itself really well. You've heard us talk before about doing a melody sheet where you take some of the most common themes that happen in the piece and write them out for everyone in the band so that you're teaching it to everyone. And this piece is scored in a way that I think really lends itself to that teaching tool.
When I've heard this piece performed before, a lot of times bands don't make a concerted effort to hold from measure 4 to measure 5 when the main melody repeats again. So making sure that that is something that always happens is important. And then everybody ends together at 8, and there's an immediate tempo change. Like Laura mentioned, it's driven by the shaker and the claves, as well as the snare drum and the timpani. So it's like a percussion feature.
The shaker part here, Katie and I were discussing when we have played this before, the shaker part is so important, and it needs to be as dry as possible. So a larger shaker really does not lend itself to make that happen. So when we have played this, I like an egg shaker. I think that's a great way to make that happen. But you could even use, you could substitute a kibasa and take some of the beads off so that you can make it that dry, crisp sound that it needs to be.
I mean, it's written at 142 and it's in eighth notes. So it's like really, really difficult to keep it sounding exact if you don't think about the shaker part. So that is important. The lows come in at 12 with this like really fun syncopated part. And the beat 4 is marked staccato, and it should be short and not connected to the next part. 1 and 4, 1 and 4, 1 and 4, 1, and then a big forte piano along with big timpani and woodwinds leading into 16. So the timpani is super important there.
Definitely. When I hear groups play this, one of the things that I hear a lot of groups do is overly accent that staccato. You'll hear 1 and 4, 1 and 4, and it needs to be really light. It needs to be really light. I've even taught it to our kids. We would say firm, firm, soft, firm, firm, soft, so that they really get it in their ear that it is not accented. It needs to be light.
Good. At 16, the woodwinds come in with their little melody, and all the lows need to back off in volume along with French horn there, saxophone. There's not as many of the woodwinds playing the melody, so really like mark it in the parts ahead of time. At this section, everybody's going to taper down to piano level.
And it's in a lower tessitura for the flutes and the clarinets.
So right. It's not up above the staff or anything. Right. So you want to make sure they can be heard. Talking to students about the rule of accidentals and how they carry through the measure is very important. Trumpets come in with a little feature at pickups to 20, with everybody doing a forte piano and the big timpani again going into that section. They should start that very confidently. It has a crescendo marked underneath it, but we taught our students to start strong and then just keep strong all the way into 20, just to make sure that they can be heard on the melody, because now they're the lonesome new part that needs to be featured. So then you have to teach your upper woodwinds to taper down along with the low brass and everybody to make sure that just the trumpets can be heard. Like Laura said, it's very thickly scored. So making sure you can hear the trumpets over everybody else can be a challenge.
And that trumpet, Katie was talking about that separated style in the rhythmic ostinato that's happening in the lower voices, but the trumpets do not need to do that.
Yes.
This is way lyrical. More connected. 1 and 3, 4, 1 and 2. No space in the trumpet melody.
Yep, and teaching them to not all breathe in the same spot is important as well, because they're going to be very they're going to want to breathe in 21. They're going to want to all breathe together in maybe 23.
After half notes, right.
And after the forte piano, but we can't breathe there. We need to lead into 24. So just teaching kids how to stagger breathe. I know I've done A, B breathing, two or three kids are an A and two or three kids are a B. A's are going to breathe on odd measures. B's are going to breathe on even measures, whatever you want to do. But talking to the kids about a breathing plan is important, so that way there's not big gaps in the sound.
And I would talk about that breathing plan earlier rather than later.
Oh, for sure.
Even though I know obviously sometimes where students are taking a breath is going to change depending on the speed of the piece, but they need a plan and it needs to be practiced.
Yep. At 24, we still have the important part happening in the trumpet, but then the horns and altos kind of change and have a neat little part that
it's
needs
a really
to be
cool
featured.
Counter melody.
Yep. And it's not very high on the French horn, which is great, so they can sound really pretty. Make sure that the horns are featured more than the altos, just color-wise. But again, now we're layering the trumpet part down. So I think that that's actually the biggest challenge that we found when we've played this in the past, is that everybody gets tired of kind of layering down and playing quieter, but they have to in order to hear the next new section that gets to be featured. Everybody has a big forte piano with, again, a huge snare and timpani moment going into 28 and then an immediate what's the word for not a accelerato? Immediately slower. I thought maybe there was a word for it. There might not be.
It just changes tempo immediately.
It just goes way slower, yes. So it goes all the way down to 86, so almost halftime. And then we're going to build it back up. And this is difficult for kids. It's very difficult because you have to practice every single human playing the exact same style and rhythm together without people going too fast or too slow.
And the way that we have found to make this the most successful, you can find, think a la marching band director. You can program tonal energy. You can put in a click track on tonal energy that will build in the accelerando. And that's what we did. So we were able to practice with that a lot until it was ingrained in the kids. And then we took it away, just like you would with, any metronome that you're using. And that really helps them to internalize what that accelerando is going to feel like and helps it to be consistent, not only for the kids, but for the director as well.
Yep. We also worked on just counting it with no instruments and watching the conductor and learning how it was going to happen. And then we just played it on a concert F for a long time. Then we added in the true notes. But just keeping the consistent style is really important too. Kids like to get longer the longer they go.
That's right.
So just keeping it short is important. At 32, most of the band keeps going with the same rhythm, but the saxes and the clarinets and the flutes take over with this really cool little melody part, and everybody else in the band has to really back off. We, in fact, when we played this in the past, we cut players there at 32 just so that it wasn't overwhelming and we could hear the little featured woodwind part, because again, it's not written above the staff. It's in the staff or below the staff in clarinet.
Right.
So it's hard to hear if everybody isn't making a really good effort to hear it.
And that continues until you build back up to the original fast tempo at 36. But we have a new idea. So I have found here that oftentimes kids want to go faster than you were going before.
And then it gets out of control.
Yes, it absolutely does. So there is this moment where the upper woodwinds and the lower voices, or upper voices and lower voices, are playing off of each other. One and two, three, four and one, two, three and four. So this conversation that they're having together. And articulation here is really important. You're going to find that most of the students want to slur ta, ta, but it's written to be tongue slur tongue, which will really help the clarity lining up that rhythm if you insist that they do that correctly.
Our kids also tried to make the ta, ta too short.
Yes.
So they would go ta, 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 but it's marked an accent. So we tried to like really ingrain in them to make it a little longer. Ta, 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 ta. So that way it wasn't like staccato, it's an accent. And again, this like all these little stylistic things Laura and I are talking about are really important because it goes throughout the whole band at some point. So it's important to get it, you know, solid the first time you have it.
And an exercise like what Katie's talking about, making that accent, making sure that it touches the rest and is a little bit longer, do that in your daily drill,
for
right?
Sure.
Do it just on a concert F or do it on a Remington exercise so that you're using your daily drill and can transfer that skill to your music.
Then the whole band leads into 40, and then we have another little tiny percussion break. And then at 42, which features timpani and snare. And at 42, the lows come in again, and it's just like the beginning.
It's
so it's
a
like
total
copy
recap.
Paste.
Yep. Yes.
And then the woodwinds come in again, and the lows have to back off. And then the trumpets come in, and everybody else has to back off. It's literally the exact same as the beginning.
It's ABA.
Yep.
It's ABA.
Which is nice because if you want something that you can spend a lot of time working on style and tempo, this is a great one because you don't have to spend a lot of time talking about like differing, you know, rhythms and notes and things like that. And I think what's the most difficult rhythm? A dotted quarter note?
Yes.
It's the syncopated part. One and four. That's the most difficult rhythm in the winds, at least. And then at 57, we start to have an accelerando. So now it's like before where we slowed down. It's the exact same rhythm, but we're not slowing down. We're
speeding up
from 142.
And they really like to
speed. Yeah, they do. Yep. And then it's important because the tambourine comes in halfway through the accelerando. And they have to really be right with you because that can either help your group or hinder your group if they're too slow when they come in or if they're trying to push the tempo too much. So make sure you have a solid kit on that. You have to layer down the lows and mids so you can hear the high woodwind part again. And we did end up cutting kids here again, but then we let them join back in at 64 when the lows have kind of a cool little part. Then it all ends together the same way. One and two, four, or sorry, three, four and one, two, three and four and one. Then there's a big forte piano, big timpani moment. And then the woodwinds build up to the very end. And it's short, short, long, short. That's how we taught the last measure. So it's fun. And it's like the kids get to go fast. So, like, what kid doesn't like doing that?
Which they love that. It's great for teaching these different styles. Like Katie mentioned, the different tempo opportunities that you have to explore with this. We didn't talk a lot about the accidentals, but there are a lot of accidentals in this. So, as you go through the parts and pre-mark them, you know, find the areas in there where, like, your flutes need to maybe move.
It happens
to
a lot.
Thumb.
In fact,
yes.
I had to, like, pull our flutes when we played this and teach them, like, here we're going to be on single thumb or, you know, bottom thumb. Here we're going to be on top thumb. Most of the piece actually is on bottom thumb.
Yes.
And it's easier to use lever when you need to. But I agree with Laura wholeheartedly. This piece is like crazy town with all the accidentals and making sure that kids sound good on all the accidentals. There's a lot of E naturals in the low brass.
A lot of concert C sharps or D flats in here as well.
Yes,
so.
G flats too.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, for sure. Tuning was something that we spent some time on. I would definitely say style was like a big part of when we taught this.
I agree completely. I think style was the biggest thing. Of course, notes, you can do a
and
lot
balance,
of that.
Balancing and making it be more transparent where you can hear the melodic lines that you need to hear.
And a couple of times in here, I recall like big chord hits where the full band is together. Mm-hmm. We rescored some of the way that the, like, it, you know, we had too many people on the third, which made the balance of it sound really weird. So just, you know, and that of course depends largely on the instrumentation of your ensemble.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to make some changes like that so that the balance is appropriate. But kids love this piece. Teachers yes. love this piece. It's a great teaching tool and a fun march that you can add to your repertoire.
You can program at any time of the year.
Definitely.
Too, for sure.
Definitely.
Well, we hope you guys will consider programming Spania in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.